may be helped to commence our morning service of worship by singing together hymn number 326. Hymn 326, to the tune Meriton 366. Let me but hear my Saviour say, strength shall be equal to thy day. Then I rejoice in deep distress, leaning on all-sufficient grace. Hymn 326, tune Meriton 366.
Thank you. read together from the sacred scriptures, the Word of God, reading from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. The book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it, for Judah, and to the children of Israel his companions. Then take another stick, and write upon it, for Joseph the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes, and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they, and their children, and their children's children for ever. And my servant David shall be their prince for ever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them, and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them for evermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them, yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them for evermore. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Most holy, almighty, merciful, and gracious God, Holy Father, Holy Jesus, Holy Ghost, do help us to come before thee now, to come unto the Father, through the Son, by the Holy Spirit. We do thank thee, O Lord, again, for inclining our hearts to be found here this morning hour of thy day, to gather together in thy name. We would be thankful for thy day, the Lord's day, set apart, sanctified for holy use. We would be thankful for the means of grace, whereunto we may gather together in thy name. We would be thankful for that measure of health and strength granted, and journeying mercies to bring us safely here. And now are we all here in the presence of God. God who is omnipresent, everywhere, in every place. But Lord, thy promise, where two or three, a little company, gather together in my name, there am I in the midst. Lord, do we not grieve that thou wilt speak the thing and perform the thing. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. Come and perform thy word, and be found in our midst here today. Think of those two on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them and drew out of their hearts all their sad complaints and then preached unto them the things concerning himself. And that wonderful effect, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? And they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Might we know something of thy abiding presence here and in our hearts. Oh, do come by thy Spirit and come by thy word and enter in. Oh, that it might be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. The Lord is here. Oh, grant, Lord, that we may meet with thee and commune with thee. May our hearts then be prepared to receive thy word. Oh, how sad, how solemn, how searching, left to ourselves. Our hearts shut out the word of God, the things of God. Think of Martha of old, cumbered about with much serving, taken up in the things of this life, and left to ourselves, our poor minds from our hearts can be so taken up with the things of this world. Oh Lord, grant us that loving reproof. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that better part that shall not be taken from her. Grant, Lord, like Mary, we might be found by faith, sitting at the feet of Jesus, learning of him, to receive thy word. O Lord, do come and work mightily in our hearts and prosper thy word. Again, Lord, we have that promise in Scripture, an exceeding great and precious promise, that the rain and the snow cometh down from heaven and watereth the earth, that it may bring forth and bud to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that to which I do please, and prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Lord, we have before us thy holy word of truth, the sacred scriptures, able to make us wise unto salvation. The word of God, infallible, inerrant, so completely true. Oh, do make thy word that living word in our hearts, and may it have that gracious effect. Lord, that we may receive thy word. Lord, as it has been quoted already this morning, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Lord, might it be our mercy, our comfort and blessing, to be found amongst thy sheep. Leave none to presume, but grant that earnest desire. With them numbered may I be, now and in eternity, that evidence of being a sheep. My sheep, hear my voice. Cause me to hear it. Speak, Lord. Speak this day. And Lord, whatever else we may hear, may we hear thy voice. Grant us that gracious discernment to know thy voice. We think of young Samuel. When the Lord called, Samuel went running to Eli. But thou didst call me. I called thee not my child. And then Eli perceived the Lord was calling Samuel. Go lie down again. And if he come and speak, say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. O Lord, come and speak this day. O thou knowest the needs of each one, the hearts of each one. Lord, how each one is spiritually and providentially concerning our never dying souls. Lord, if there are any here yet dead in trespasses and in sins, no concern, no interest, no desire, no burden, no exercise, no hunger and thirst for the things of God, any satisfied like the foolish virgins with a lamp of profession, oh, send forth thy word as that arrow of conviction, to awaken and quicken, to call by thy almighty irresistible grace. O Lord, show them themselves and their great need of thy mercy in Jesus. Remember such in whom that work of grace has begun, being taught of God and taught the truth and taught their need of a precious Jesus to save them from their sins. Any perhaps halting between two opinions. Any with that great struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Any like that prodigal son, and he began to be in want. There was a beginning, a feeling, a sense of need. O Lord, do deepen that work of grace and lead poor sinners to the feet of Jesus. And, O Lord, do remember those who have that humble hope. And yet, Lord, of that time of backsliding, the time of hardness of heart, and those infirmities, the cares of this world, and many things which choke the word, oh, be pleased, Lord, to send forth thy word in divine power, unction, and authority to those who need comfort, to those who need encouragement, to those who need some help by the way, to those who need direction and guidance, to those who need counsel, wisdom, advice, to those who need help, to those who need strength, to those who need support. O Lord, to those who need to know and do thy will. Remember any who may need correction, rebuking, reproving. Lord, we do. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man, but walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but in judgment, not in anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Oh, how we need that correction. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Oh, to put us in that right way. Remember each one gathered here, from the youngest to the eldest. We pray for the little ones, the children, the young people growing up into life. And be pleased to put thy holy fear deep into their hearts. Oh, may they be found of that generation to come, that generation that shall call thee the Redeemer blessed. And keep them from the evils of this world. Oh, keep them, Lord, from those peer pressures, from turning aside to lightness of religion. Oh, might they be taught of God, and taught to know the truth as it is in Jesus. Remember, dear parents, and grant much wisdom and grace, and help and strength and understanding to bring their children up aright in this dark and evil, difficult day. I pray for all in the midst of life. O Lord, bless each and every one, those in business and those at home, for all the responsibilities and duties. O Lord, do grant thy gracious help. Remember those who would be here if they could, but have been unable to come. Lord, do go to them and bless them, and any who may listen in, Lord, remember such. Bless this cause of truth, and may they yet prove here that thy Spirit remaineth. Help one at the desk, and grant to him much grace and wisdom. The burdens that he bears, uphold and strengthen him, and do help him, and thy servant, where he is this day, Lord, do remember him and be with him and help him also, the ministers here from time to time. And do help all thy servants who minister here. O Lord, do feed thy flock. And may it be in other sheep I also have, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. Gather in such as thou wilt gather in. May there be that ingathering yet to glorify thy name. All for the building up of Zion, for the encouragement of thy praying people. Lord, in these sad, sad, sad days in which we live, when we have to witness so much of Satan's work, the thief who cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Dear Lord Jesus, do come and let thy work appear. Oh, that work of grace in the hearts of thy people, the ingathering of thy people, the building up of Zion. Lord, let thy work appear. But I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. So Lord, remember us, we pray. Hear our poor prayer and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive. Send answers of peace. Help us as we turn to thy word. Oh, do enlighten. Shine upon thy word that we may see light in thy light. We ask all in that worthy, precious, all-prevailing name of Jesus. For Jesus' sake alone we ask. Amen.
The notices for the week are that, God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach here on Tuesday evening. Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day evening. And as helps, there will be a red address in the prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service. And today we take our monthly collection. May we now be held to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 622, tune 430. Hymn 622, tune Walton, 430. Poor fearful saint, be not dismayed, nor dread the dangers of the night. Thy God will ever be thy aid, and put the hosts of hell to flight. In every sore and deep distress, I am thy God, shall be thy stay. Thy God shall all thy woes redress, and drive thy guilty fears away. Hymn 622, tune Walton 430.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I direct our prayerful attention to the Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 16. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4, and the last verse, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4 and verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The language here in the Song of Solomon is figurative. That is, those things which are spoken of here, rather like the parables the Lord Jesus spoke, are things which we can relate to, things which we understand of nature around us. But then there is that spiritual meaning. That spiritual meaning which only the Lord can give to his people. Oh, how favoured we are if the Lord might grant to us that hearing ear, that wise and understanding hearts, to understand the Word of God. There is a little prayer in the Psalms. Of course, there are many, many prayers in the Psalms, but just a little prayer of three words, and it concerns the Word of God. And the psalmist prayed, "Give me understanding." It's a good prayer. Give me understanding. In this sad day in which we live, when there are so many so-called versions of the Bible, when, like the hymn writer penned, what impious, that is ungodly, numbers, bold in sin, disgrace the Christian name, saying that the Bible says what it doesn't say, misinterpreting the Word of God, giving their own opinion, their own thoughts, and many are so confused. What is the truth? What is real? What is the Word of God? Because there is only one Word of God. God is not a God of confusion. There is only one Word of God. And I trust that each one here believes that this authorized version before us is yet the most faithful translation of the Word of God. Faithfully translated. But then one can have an understanding in the letter of it. Even an understanding of spiritual things, but in the head and not in the heart. Now that prayer, give me understanding. That right understanding of the Word of God, as we read the sacred scriptures, are able to make us wise unto salvation. That wisdom cannot be compared to any natural wisdom. To be made wise unto salvation, the salvation of our never dying souls. The foolish virgins were never made wise unto salvation. And yet they appeared with the wise, they identified with the wise, they went the same way as the wise, they appeared to have the same desires as the wise. But they had no oil in their vessel. They had no grace in their hearts. If you will, they were never born again. They were never quickened. They were never truly taught of God. The word of God was found in their heads, but not in their hearts. There may have been a pretentious love, but there was no real love. No real love to God, no real love for His people. Now, may the Lord have mercy upon each one of us, that each one shall be born again and quickened by the Holy Spirit. Taught of God and taught to know the truth. I believe there are two fundamental lessons the Lord will teach His people. That first fundamental lesson is to be taught that we are sinners. Anyone can say that they're a sinner. Anyone can make out that they confess their sins. Anyone can say that they are convicted of being a sinner. But that true conviction, I believe it comes from a broken heart, a contrite spirit. The Lord also gives that godly sorrow which worketh repentance unto salvation. But there is another thing. One truly convicted of being a sinner is utterly ashamed. Two characters come straight to mind. One was the publican at the temple, could not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. He felt that shame, that great shame of being a sinner. The other one was the prodigal son. He went out full of himself and self-conceit and confidence and pride. But when he came back, he lost everything. He came back literally as a beggar. He had nothing. He'd lost everything. He was reduced in that far off country to feeding the swine. No man gave unto him. He was famished. He was destitute. He remembered his father's house. And just in the natural account of it, he didn't know if his father would receive him or not. And I'm sure of this, if he came back yet full of himself, full of excuses and reasons, and it wasn't his fault, and he blamed everyone else, I don't think his father would have received him. But he didn't. He came back broken. He came back humble. He came back destitute. He came back poor. He came back needy. He came back on the grounds of mercy, willing to take the lowest place in his father's house if his father might receive him back. Oh, he felt that shame, that great shame, that he had so sinned against heaven and against his father. I am not worthy. I am not worthy to be called thy son. Oh, I am not worthy, the very least of thy mercies and truth, said Jacob, who also knew himself to be a sinner and felt that great shame. Well, so it is with all the Lord's people. Give me understanding of myself, a lost and ruined, guilty sinner. But then give me understanding of the Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom Scripture sets forth as a propitiation, mercy, God's mercy, that covering of mercy, that mercy seat, the propitiation, but it's through faith in His blood, through faith in the person and finished work of the Lord Jesus. Oh, give me understanding. Give me understanding of the Word of God, because Jesus Christ is written upon every page of Scripture. You remember how the hymn writer penned concerning the Bible, if aught there dark appear, bewail thy want of sight. And how again the psalmist prayed in that same Psalm 119, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And what a wondrous thing is the Lord Jesus Christ to a poor, needy, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, the friend of publicans and sinners. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Well, what we have here is a garden. It would appear to be like a walled garden. A walled garden with these various fruits, these various fruit trees, if you will, and also these herbs of spikenard, saffron, calamus, cinnamon, growing in this garden. This big garden belongs to its owner. He speaks, my garden. Primarily in the Song of Solomon we have two characters, each describing themselves as the beloved. That is the bridegroom and the bride. And there we would begin to see the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus, and the bride, his church, his people. The garden here is spoken of as the church of God. My garden, my possession, belongs to me. It speaks of these plants, my people, my people. Of course, the one great theme running through the Song of Solomon is love. We love him because he first loved us. If the Lord did not love us, we would never love him, because the carnal mind is enmity, an enemy of God. And man in his unregeneracy is at enmity with God. We will not have this man to reign over us. But there is that appointed time, that set time to favour Zion, that time when that soul, though dead in trespasses and in sins, shall be awakened spiritually. That spiritual life given to them. Blessed be God if we have any hope of being in possession of that spiritual life. We cannot give it ourselves. As the Lord Jesus taught Nicodemus, and he teaches his people, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Jesus goes on to speak, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. It is vital, imperative, that we are born again, that we are blessed with that spiritual life. It is an eternal life which the Lord grants to his people. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And it's a great concern to every soul taught of God. Am I his or am I not? Well, here the word of God speaks of this wind. Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden. This wind speaks of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, Almighty God. It is the Holy Spirit, and he alone, that will cause any soul to be born again, born from above. It's the power of God. Power of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created new creatures in Christ Jesus. Awake, O north wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. That is the effect of the wind. The effect of the wind. Saul of Tarsus comes to mind. He was brought up in religion. Religion was his life, being brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. We might say like a theological college, where he learned all about the Bible. He knew the Hebrew. He knew it so well in his head. I'm sure he could argue on it and debate about it with others. And he thought he was one of the Lord's people. He thought he was doing God's service. But he'd never been born again. Never been quickened by the Holy Spirit. He was yet dead in trespasses and in sins. But that time came. That time will come to every child of God. Awake, O north wind. Remember, the language here is figurative. We know with the account of Saul of Tarsus, that great light shone, outshining the midday sun. What a light that must have been. And the power of it caused him to fall down to the earth. And that voice he heard, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And what an answer he gave. The voice came out of heaven. It was that almighty voice of God speaking from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he answered, who art thou, Lord? He didn't know. At that time, he didn't know. Not in a dissimilar way to young Samuel we mentioned, who went running to Eli. He didn't know the voice of the Lord. And Saul, though brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, brought up with that head knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, brought up to hate the disciples of the Lord Jesus, to reject Jesus of Nazareth. Not to believe what was spoken concerning him. And indeed, he went so far in his enmity and hatred to persecute the disciples of the Lord Jesus. Who art thou, Lord? What a revelation was made to him. An answer he never expected, anticipated. An answer which in one sense would have shaken him to his absolute core. If the Lord had answered, I am Almighty God. I am the that I am. I am the sovereign God. Yes, would have been true. But the voice answered, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. Not dead in a tomb. Not secretly taken away by the disciples, as has been taught amongst the Jews. I am Jesus. Yes, I lived. I died. But I rose again and now ascended up into heaven. At the right hand of the Father, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What an awakening. And you hath he quickened. Awake, O north wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Just mention now that some years ago I was delivering to a certain property out in the countryside, a lovely thatch cottage, and as I stood waiting for the answer, I could smell this beautiful smell. And the lady who answered the door was the housekeeper, and I just mentioned it to her. She said, "I'm not too sure, I lost the lady of the house." And it was such a beautiful honey-like scent. And actually it was this time of year, around February, and I was given to understand the plant was a darker colour. A tiny little flower, we have a couple in our garden now. Tiny, tiny little flowers, but a scent. And especially in the evening, and you get a soft wind blowing, and that area of the garden smells so beautiful. I mentioned this. We have here that the spices thereof may flow out, but the scent of it may flow out. Now, Saul of Tarsus had said many prayers, but there was no flowing out. Flowing out of his head, flowing out of his lips, but no flowing out of his heart. There was no scent acceptable unto God. He lived all those years, but he never prayed. But now, being awakened, and that word spoken to Ananias as proof that this one has been born again, is a child of God, one of my people, to be found in my garden, the spices thereof are flowing out, behold, he prays. For behold, he prayeth. Oh, I do believe that souls who are truly quickened, awakened by the Holy Spirit, will soon be taught to pray. They may not feel in and of themselves that they are praying. It may be more of a groan, a sigh, a cry, but it's heavenward. Or they may be groaning over their lost condition. Or there may be those tears of true repentance coming from godly sorrow. There is that turning to the Lord, that acknowledging against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Awake, O north wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, O God, thou wilt not despise. Indeed, it is to be found in every child of God. That broken heart, that contrite spirit. Again, how the hymn might append, though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own. And that few so, the same few in the narrow way, the same few who know the plague of their own heart, the same few who are truly taught to pray, they know themselves as sinners. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Oh, what an awakening. An awakening to the truth. An awakening to the truth that one day we shall die. It is appointed unto men once to die. You know, man will go that far. Man will acknowledge that one day he must die. He will go that far. But then, all the lies and deceits and the falsehoods spoken about either annihilation or what they call afterlife, and it's each for their own, whatever they want. But the truth is, the word of God is, and after death, the judgment. A tremendous judgment day. The sheep and the goats. Those to eternal life, those to eternal death. That rich man who lived sumptuously every day was never awakened to know the truth. He died in his sins and he became the beggar, begging for one drop of water. That poor man, Lazarus, oh, he was awakened. He knew what it was to cry. He knew what it was to beg. To beg for God's mercy, the pardon, the forgiveness of his every sin. And oh, he entered into eternal life. And in that right, sacred sense, lived sumptuously in heaven with Christ, which is far better. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And souls who are born again, these spices flow out of their hearts, which are acceptable unto God. Prayers prayed in Jesus' name, the cries of a soul. I know their groaning, and I am come down to deliver them. Awake, O north wind, the north wind must do its work. As it is in nature even today, the necessity of the north wind, that powerful wind, or that wind which sometimes it is spoken of rather than going round when it seems to go through you. Well, the word of God must go through a poor soul to enter right in, to bring them to themselves and the truth, or to bring them to that need of the Lord Jesus. Every child of God will be brought there to be taught their need of the Lord Jesus, the one thing needful. Not one should be left out. I'll just mention here, I felt led to read that chapter in Ezekiel, mainly for the former part of it. And there again we have the north wind of the Spirit prophesying, if you will, the word of God unto that people. And well, they were so dead. The bones were so dry. It seemed utterly impossible. But that which is impossible with men is possible with God. For all things are possible with God. First and foremost, that we might be awakened. And every child of God who hopes in the mercy of God, looking unto Jesus, has a real gracious concern over the souls of others. Awake, O north wind. That word struck me recently. And other sheep I have which are not of his fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. On my mind, so I mention it, having that text on my mind recently in a Lord's Day morning. I arrived early at the chapel. I went for a walk, walking past what might be termed a rougher part of a city. I just noticed some noise coming out of a open front door, pop music. I just noticed this young lady sitting at the door, open front door, smoking. Sitting there in a dressing gown, in a very sorry state, no doubt recovering from the previous night. And that word just so struck me, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. What a sense and reason I might look upon and think, well, that never happened to her. What interest would she have in the things of God, the Bible? We're left to ourselves nothing, and neither would you and I. But you have he quickened, and who can tell? I think what struck me, who can tell? The Lord is able. Those dry bones, the Lord is able. That north wind, the power of the Holy Spirit, he is able. For these things I will be inquired of, O house of Israel, to do them unto you. I will increase you with men like as a flock. My flock, awake, O north wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. But then the south wind, when the north wind has done its work, has awakened that soul, then the command to the south wind, that gentle breeze, coming with comfort and blessings and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thyself, come, thyself, blow upon my garden. Oh, that work of grace, that work of God, bringing sinners to the feet of Jesus. And all that revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to their never dying souls. Being taught our need of Him. Again, not in the letter of it, not in dry doctrine, but in the personal experience of it. That personal revelation of the Lord Jesus to our souls. My Lord and my God. Dear Thomas, left to himself, would not believe. He just would not believe that Jesus had risen again from the dead, though throughout Scripture ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory. But Thomas, oh, he would not believe unless he saw those physical proofs of the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, from the nails and from the spear. I will not believe that north wind was blowing. I'm sure Thomas didn't enjoy any peace in those 8 days ere the Lord Jesus returned again. I'm sure Thomas was greatly troubled, greatly burdened. The others said, he has risen, he has appeared. But dear Thomas, I will not believe. And when Jesus came into that room 8 days later, the first things that Jesus said, peace be unto you. And then speaks straight to Thomas. Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered then, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Not seen in the flesh, but believed and seen by faith. Oh, that revelation of the Lord Jesus to our souls by that true and living faith. Come, thou self. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Oh, what a wonderful thing if we can truly say, my Jesus. If we fear perhaps at this time that might be a little presumptuous. We long to believe and yet fear to presume. There's another word here in our text. May the Lord grant that faith, that sweet hope, as it were, to lay upon it. My beloved. You long to say, my Lord, my God, my Saviour, my Jesus. But oh, are you unable to say, my beloved. My beloved. The one thing needful. The chiefest among 10,000. My only hope and my only plea. Obtaining God's mercy. Through the finished work of the Lord Jesus. My beloved. What think ye of Christ is a test. And unto you therefore which believe. He is precious. To a seeking soul, to a needy soul, to a longing soul, to a praying soul. He is precious. My beloved. My beloved. Oh, may I call thee mine. I come back to that word again in 1 John. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, that love to the Lord. First in that felt need of him and that discovery of him and that understanding of him in his person and finished work, that love to his precious word. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. You remember the account of the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years she suffered with that affliction. She had been to many physicians. Not one could heal her, help her. They took of her money, but they couldn't heal her at all. And there she was languishing, no doubt very poor and weak and broken. But she hears of Jesus. How did she hear of Jesus? The Spirit revealed a precious Jesus to her soul. She heard of him, and the Holy Spirit put into her heart, if I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. I feel sure if she said that, she had family, she had friends, if she said that to those around her, if they saw her leaving the home, where are you going, what are you doing? I'm going to this man Jesus of Nazareth. I but need to touch the hem of his garment and I shall be made whole. I'm sure they would have laughed her to scorn. But the Holy Spirit put it into her heart. She came by faith. She came believing. Without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. Now the Holy Spirit put it into her heart that she ventures. It's a great venture in faith. Like Esther, I will go in unto the king. This is more of those spices flowing out. She ventures to the Lord Jesus. Ah, then that throng, that crowd, pressing him all around. Now it seemed impossible for her to reach him. But God-given faith must prevail. She must still venture. She must still come. That need is so great. And all the while the Lord Jesus is drawing her unto himself. Come, thou south wind, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. We have it here. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits, those fruits of righteousness. Somebody have touched me. The Lord Jesus knew exactly who was touching him, but disciples were perplexed because many people were physically, literally touching him. And they'll say, somebody have touched me, somebody have touched me, for I perceive that virtue have gone out of me. Oh, might it be so here today. Somebody have touched me. Somebody drawn to the feet of Jesus, somebody with that finger of faith to touch thee, if we may, to receive that healing virtue. Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, let my beloved come into his garden. May thy presence be known and felt. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us. It is toward evening, but day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. Let my beloved come, oh, that the Lord might come into his garden and eat or take of his pleasant fruits, that of his own Spirit's work in the hearts of his people, that the spices thereof may flow out. Oh, flowing out with those desires heavenward, those prayers and those praises. You notice in the Psalms, how many Psalms begin with prayer, the dear psalmist in trouble, in distress, and end with praise. All to the prayer hearing and the prayer answering God. The dear psalmist delighting in the Lord's mercy, the Lord's goodness, the Lord's kindness, the Lord supplying his need, the Lord undertaking his cause, the Lord performing his word. Ah, how the spices flowed out in the Psalms. And do we not find at times the language in the Psalms and throughout the Scripture is the language of our own hearts? Or what the psalmist prayed then, we pray now. This wondrous prayer comes to mind. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. You see there that wind blowing. Bring my soul out of prison. Oh Lord, I'm in this dark place. I'm a captive soul. I cannot free myself. Oh Lord, I feel the gloom, the misery, the distress. But bring my soul out of prison. Only thou canst. Only thou canst. Speak the word only, and thy servant shall be made whole. Oh, speak to me. Let me hear thy gentle voice, as thy sheep hear thy voice. Oh, may I truly hear thy voice. This is the flowing out of the spices. And let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, his pleasant fruits, that which is acceptable unto God. That which is God glorifying. That which is right in his sight. That which is to the goodness of God. How dependent we are upon the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, without me ye can do nothing. That great dependence we have today. The same Spirit. The same Word. The same Gospel. The same Jesus who is the same yesterday and today and forever. And yet, it's a sad day. There's such a withholding of the power of the Holy Spirit. Zion languisheth, Zion mourneth. Few come to her solemn feasts. Few come to hear the gospel preached. Few come to hear the word of God. Oh, in former generations it was different. The Lord sending forth his Spirit, that north wind blew, and many were quickened, many were awakened. That south wind blew, many were brought to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Oh, may the Lord in mercy yet stir us up. Really, we need that north wind to blow into our souls, to stir us up to much prayer. It is a sad thing. Left to ourselves, we just do not pray. What backwardness to pray, what hardness of heart, what unbelief. We'd rather be attending to other things, but oh, when that spirit of prayer is given. For behold, he prayeth for God's mercy, for God's grace, for God's help. That north wind blowing, that soul praying, oh, for the south wind to blow, to be blessed with those comforts of the Holy Spirit, those comforts of the gospel, those comforts of the Lord's appearing, the Lord's favour, the Lord's blessing, the work of God to appear. Oh, let thy work appear unto thy servants, unto their children. Awake, O north wind, and come thou self. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn number 554. Hymn 554. Tune Norman 196. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promises are stay. His goodness he will make to pass before us in the way. Hymn 554, tune Norman 196.
Thank you.
the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.